Blog Talk Radio.
That nigga slutter, smut, the riders when they on Facebook. Catch them slipping at these rallies and they act real shook. 24-7 on the grind, my comrades putting it work. New generation, the Panther organizing the touch. Deal with the buzzers on the block, cause we the last ones that they got. Beat the people, bang on cops, political air and break the law. Couple cops for the masses, build community defense. While these bootlicking bougie ass niggas ride the fence. Used to was a booster, ain't no half-ends in the movement. I got elders and soldiers, fuck, still dedicated to it. It's a lifetime commitment, black riders gon' represent it. Flipping the tribalism with the OG locked in prison. But thanks to General Top, I sympathizing with the block. And nobody gave a fuck, so they assassinated Pop. Like they assassinated Malcolm, set him up to see Obama. But we coming for revenge, and I put that on my mama.
Like they wanna end police brutality.
But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? In the same sense of niggas say they wanna be free. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep the G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you'll never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. I'm a rise to the day I'm buried, to go out in the burst of flames. My business as a revolutionary, I'm the last of a dying breed. Pray to God I live long enough to teach my seed, fulfilling my legacy. Ride on the enemy, I'm peak when they plot, but they more kept zipping niggas to start to kill on my block. These cowards fake as fuck, they rat you out to the cops. Smiley your face, but these niggas got me twisted like lies. Well, fake niggas I can't fuck with. Niggas are shady nowadays, so be careful who you rhyme with. Precision shots, only thing my gun spit. Niggas be working for the state, so they can less of they hit. Not every government agent wears a gun on his hip. Strategically placed cooperatives to roam in the midst. Gotta learn from my mistakes, separate the real from the fake. It's the reason why these bougie try to leave your niggas safe.
Say they wanna end police brutality,
but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? In the same sense of niggas say they wanna be free, but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep the G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you'll never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. No blood to bleed.
I'm a straight rider, you don't wanna fuck with me. Got the police busting at me, but they can't do nothing to me.
Thank you.
murderous lyrics and put spirit to the thugs before me. Pay off the block, you baby got, cause I know they coming for me. I've been hesitant to reappear, been away for years, never got my ass distracted, been reduced to tears, but then my message is with the keys. So what's the bitch and bleach, niggas slipping the vibe, my mother's corrupt and see, blast me, but they didn't finish, didn't diminish, my powers are never back to be a motherfucking minute. They count the body clock, set me up, have bitch ass niggas on my team, so indeed they wet me up, but I'm back, reincarnated, incarcerated at the time I caught the break, the way the God made it, listen with lyrics is legendary, musical mercenary for money, my addies motherfuckers bury, getting much mad at jail, niggas telling me to kill it, knowing when I get out they gon' feel it, witness the village of who ride it when I put the shit inside, the drive from all your people when they find you, but remind you, my history of proof I'm in it, revenge on the niggas that play me, and all the cowards that was down with it, now it's your nigga right beside you.
Black August, that we fast and deny ourselves food to remind ourselves that the sacrifices of the great ancestors paved the way for us to even exist and breathe today. It is so important that we have a clear purpose of Black August, as it was created by seared revolutionary founders, not to just celebrate, but to observe, to pay homage, and to commemorate our armed struggle against these ruthless, evil, boot beast police and all the other demons of white supremacy and capitalism. Let's go over some of the key tenets. Point one, we are only to drink water for a suggested prolonged period of time. But if one is really disciplined, you will push that until after sunset, from the 1st until the 31st. Suggested hours are from 8 to 6 p.m. Point two, only one meal a day after sunset. Point three, the workout, to exercise, to train, so we can be ready and don't have to get ready. Point four, do not use any drugs, mind-altering herbs, or alcoholic beverages during this sacred month of Black August. Point five, do not go to any corporate stores for anything other than medical or health-related issues. Point six, do not patronize fast food establishments or vendors. Point seven, you must eat healthy, natural, and nutritious food and meals and be ready for combat. Point eight, to observe Black August by pushing educational study groups and events and commemorations so we can regain our African heritage, because the oppressor, the brutal enemy, robbed us. They robbed us of our culture, robbed us of our land, robbed us of our language, robbed us of the very essence of our being. In order to get that back, we must reclaim our African heritage. We must reclaim our African legacy all day, every day, even on a Sunday. And as we push through the month of Black August, we want to acknowledge the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who brought the value of the land question to the forefront, just as Malcolm X, just as the Black Panther Party from the 60s, just as the Nation of Islam, and all other groups who were serious about freedom and independence. Khalid Muhammad pointed out that Africa is our throne, and the whole planet Earth is our home. That Africa is our throne, and the whole planet Earth is our home. Yes, we must reclaim the land in Africa, but we must remember us as African people. We pushed a hard line. We migrated to, explored, and settled on every landmass, on every continent, and every island long before any other race even existed. Let's say that again. We migrated to, explore, and settle every major landmass, continent, and island long before any other race even existed. So the value of a Khalid taught us that Africa is our throne and the whole planet Earth is our home, brings the land question to the forefront to make us consume it properly, to marinate in the value of land. Malcolm X taught us, a lot of people like to talk about revolution, but revolution is hostile. Revolution overturns everything that gets in its way. Revolution is based on the landless against the landlord. Revolution is based on the landless against the landlord. Revolution is based on land, and it's also based on bloodshed. Other than that, you don't have a revolution. All you got is some pretty nice reformist bullshit tactics that's going to keep us enslaved, keep us being pushed forward into the pits of extermination and genocide. So we must clean up, wake up, and stand up based on this truth of land, because the evil demon robbed us, pulled out pistols, pulled out choppers, laid our people down, and robbed us. So it would be foolish to think that we shouldn't push, get our shit back to the fullest. Everything they stole, from the diamond, the gold, the land, the precious artifacts, we must reclaim and jack back from the ruthless bloody oppressor. But we cannot be nice about it, like Khalid Muhammad taught us. We cannot tiptoe through the tulips. We must get down and be ready to push a hard line for the total liberation and salvation of the black nation. Black people sailed to the so-called Americas long before even Columbus got there. We must realize that to the fullest. We want to talk about the Quavoel Land Project, because Comrade McCaparra put the line and bought 160 acres to bring about the first step toward total liberation and revolution, pushing to develop that land to bring about food, clothing, shelter, clean water for our people. He points out, Comrade McCaparra points out, it takes a village to build a village. With your help, we can do just that. Join us as we make history in building another African village for our people, by our people, trapped in racist America. Every hand counts, and with your support, we can accomplish this great goal. Stand up for freedom and join us. Let your voice be heard. Imagine 160 acres of land, rock, and trees, and water waiting to be shaped and molded in our own precious African image. This is our opportunity to build a nation that our people can benefit from. Food, clothing, shelter can all be produced here. Land is the answer to most of our people's problems. When you have your own land, you can cure yourself of a lot of the issues that we face. Picture the land in your mind, and we are pushing a mission to provide quality agricultural products and maximum return with diligence and integrity, moving our people towards real self-sufficiency and self-determination for independence for black people. Second part of the mission is to conduct and convene credible evidence-based science on the environmental and health effects of organic food and farming, and to communicate these findings to the public. This is what the Quavoel Land Project means, a whole 160 acres ready for us to push a line and stand up as a people and show these demons we ain't playing no game. We will achieve absolute liberation and salvation of the Bush Nation to the fullest. Comrade McCaparra goes to point out, what is the purpose of the Quavoel Land Project, and why is it important to our black people? Our ancestors laid a road and foundation for us to follow. If you do not control your land, if you do not control your water and your housing, you are subject to slavery at all times. You are subject to be maimed, brutalized, and gunned down by the brute beast police. So the better name for the Quavoel Project is a Let's Get Free Project. This is so important for us as a people. This is what we're pushing as Black Riders, the new generation, Black Panther Party for self-defense. But let's go into the issue of the land question and how they robbed us. Most major organizations seeking to achieve liberation and freedom for our people for over 400 years have put out the call, reparations, have put out the call to seek 40 acres and a mule. But it's a part missing out of that. It was 40 acres, a mule, and $50. Based on inflation, based on interest, every black family was to get at least $500,000. That's what that would equate to now today. That $50 would be $500,000. And 40 acres, 40 acres is like a whole football field. Imagine what our people can build and create based on if we push a hard line to get our land, to get our 40 acres and a mule. And that's just one step, because we're seeking to push to take back all of the land. We're pushing to take back the whole entire planet Earth, the land, the oceans, the seas, everything that these evil demons destroy, and conquer, and colonize. We will jack back, and we will win. There's no getting around it. See, when I grew up in the 80s, there was a lot of bootlicking, coon-ass comedians that constantly got on TV and trivialized pro-blackness and trivialized the revolution. And they minimized and made jokes of 40 acres and a mule. A lot of us who are still foolish, who are still brainwashed, still talk that shit, talking about fuck some 40 acres, fuck some reparations. It's just because you following the foolishness of coonery that the enemy put out there on purpose. He sent an army of coon comedians to trivialize, to minimize our people, just to file demands, just to file demands, righteous demands that we will get. Ain't no talking about it nicely. Like Malcolm said, revolution ain't no compromise. It's hostile. It's bloody. It overturns everything that gets in the way. We not approaching these evil demons with a hat in a hand, begging approach. We jacking ours back, pushing the line with them choppers to the fullest. Don't play with it. Don't talk shit about it. Thousands of our people have died seeking their 40 acres and a mule and $50. So do not play with it. It is not a game. Don't think because of our people haven't achieved the necessary political military structure to bring it about that it can't happen. Because that's what we building and pushing the line. Because we ain't playing no game. We going to get our shit for show though. See, it all stems back to the so-called Civil War when the North was fighting against the South. And Abraham Lyon-ass Lincoln issued an order, General Sherman, and it was called Special Field Order Number 15. Look that up. Google that. For real, though. Special Field Order Number 15. And Abraham Lyon-ass Lincoln issued this order to so-called General Sherman. And this was the order that went down in 1865. Let's go over it. These were military orders issued during the Civil War on January 16, 1865. By so-called General Sherman, who was the so-called commander of the military division of the Mississippi U.S. Army. 400,000 acres of land along the Atlantic coast of South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida was given to our people, divided up in 40 acres, which they settled on. 18,000 enslaved black families and other blacks living in the area was given this land. All the while going to the land, there was a huge, gigantic march led by so-called General Sherman. Hundreds of our people died along the way to get to this land all along the Atlantic coast that was given to them. We died from starvation, dehydration, and a brutal beast attacks from the different Confederates that was launching armed raids on the caravan. On raid, on the march. And once we got down there, those who survived was given this land all to Florida, all to Georgia, all to South Carolina. And it was supposed to be given to the rest of the slaves. Also, the promise of freedom was held out to black people if they fought on the side of Abraham Lyon-ass Lincoln. If we fought on the side of the North, then they promised freedom. They promised us this special field order 15. And after we helped whoop the South ass, then they lied to us. They assassinated their own goddamn president. Abraham Lincoln was ruthlessly assassinated. And his vice president, who was a devout Southerner from a racist family, was vice president. And once Lincoln was assassinated, he became president, and he took all that land back. He took that 40 acres back and denied our people one of the first steps to bring about our true liberation and salvation for the black nation. So when we think about this on how they robbed us, we cannot play. We cannot trivialize that. If you do, you have no real respect for your ancestors. You playing games at revolution. You just talking some bullshit rhetoric that ain't make no concrete sense. See, as Black Riders, the new generation, Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we make a concrete analysis of concrete conditions, and we move. We just don't go off what you feel in your bullshit emotionalism and your adaption of the comedian coonery bullshit you learned when you was little. Stop watching them bullshit-ass shows. Always want to play, party, and bullshit instead of being for real with the revolution. That's what I'm talking about. For real, though. Because it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth, head for head, and life for life. And we're going to push to achieve this, starting with the Quabuwaiting Land Project. And then we're going to keep jacking, keep pushing along till we acquire every piece of land on this damn planet Earth. And we will win by any motherfucking means necessary. Black power and all power to the people. We're going to bring on other comrades. We're going to start off with the super warrior, pushing black power for over 30 years. Our Minister of Defense, King Samir Shabazz. We're going to tell y'all what time it is. I'm done. Let's push the line, because we need to clean up, wake up, and stand up, because it's death to white supremacy, death to capitalism, death to imperialism, and death to fascism. All day, every day, even on Sunday. Black power and all power to the people.
Black power, black power, black power.
Black motherfucking
power. Yes, sir, General. As always, the bombs have been dropped. And I want to say, in the spirit of our warrior ancestors, glory to Garvey. Praise Khalid Muhammad. Praise George Jonathan. Praise Nzinga. Praise Harriet. Praise them all. We're here in Black August. And my spirit right now, comrades and family listening, is in the spirit of very high revolution. Because as I study each and every day, learning about our comrades who have done something strong in the month of August. And to those comrades who are not even mentioned, let's talk about those who just did the work and got no kind of credit. Those who did the work and didn't want no credit, they have to be and must be and shall be honored as well. So in all of their revolutionary names, I come before you as the Minister of Defense of the Black Riders Liberation Party and the National Deputy Field Marshal of the New Black Panther Party under the leadership of Sister Crystal Muhammad. I say a BB Fahodier, black power, death to white supremacy, death to white blood. Since we're talking about Black August, we're talking about 1 degree in our revolutionary struggle towards freedom and independence. Land is the absolute most important degree in our revolutionary struggle. Land is the basis of freedom. Land is the basis of operation. Land is the basis of building a nation, an empire. Now let's look at it militarily, because I'm going to deal with this thing from a military perspective as your brother Minister of Defense. If the white man knows he's about to go to war, he gathers the intel, built on the ballistics and the logistics. The first thing he does in operation of war is establish a command post, land. He takes control of land. He doesn't beg. He doesn't ask. He kills, rapes, assassinates, tortures, and take land. All throughout the white man's history, he has taken everything he has touched. Let's really look at this. When he establishes a command post as a base of operation, this means he's getting ready to get busy. Most of us are still paying rent on Section 8, tutelage and supervision under a military structure. See? Because projects and Section 8 go hand in hand. That's a military operation. Close quarters, easy to make move, easy to conquer and shut down. Now most project housing that they're building is only one way in and one way out. So land is the basis of freedom. 160 acres. Acres is 22 city blocks. 22 to 25 city blocks. So family, let's really look at this here. We're not just talking about no little backyard. We're talking about a basis of freedom, a basis to establish our own. Now, here we are in Black August stating that we want freedom. We want land. We want justice. We want peace. We want to be sovereign and all this great stuff. So, Baba Baruti teaches, he says, the successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. So when we say black power, we say we want to define, develop, and defend. Going back to that military structure again, because we have to talk about a military if we're going to talk about our own land. How are we going to defend our land? Because I'll be goddamn once I step foot on 160 acres and analyze and start building security to protect our land. I'll be damned if a cracker step foot on the damn land to come kill, rape, torture, maim, burn, any goddamn thing. Cracker, you will never, ever see the light of day again in self-defense. We have to protect and defend what is in our best interest, what is for our people. So here we are at the first degree, land. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, our story, our culture, our time, our space, and our own destiny. It is to have power within the nation, to control our lives, and to control them in our best interest, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereignty has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with the enemies and the damn coons and traitors, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, and self-empowered. Since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, there we go again, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. That is true sovereignty. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. But needless to say, for us to be the kind of African nationalist warriors our people need, we must want sovereignty for African people more than we want to live. So when we talk about sovereignty, we're not speaking of the popular sovereignty movement. The fad is about individualism, about feeling free while still under enemy occupation. We're about true nationalism, actually being free as a people, which would automatically make us into free individuals. We can quickly summarize this point by contrasting the Occupy and Sovereignty Citizens movement with African sovereignty. Now, let me explain this to you very carefully. The Occupy movement is nothing but disgruntled crackers who are angry with their parents for creating economic problems that are making their lives as young white children difficult. So there is no different from their parents' anger over the Vietnam War and sexual restrictions on open white sex in the 60s and 70s. So these fucking spoiled brats have no desire to get rid of this damn system, y'all. But they use you. Silly niggas. Silly, can't we all just get along niggas? They use you as the cannon fodder. So they simply want the freedom to live as they choose under the protection of this system. In other words, they want a larger share of the pie. So they have no problem having us that saying to us that this is our cause because our numbers strengthen their movement's success. So with the Occupy movement having absolutely nothing to fucking do with our freedom and independence. But you silly niggas set up tents. You're laid on damn cardboard with no damn tents, with crackers, trying to occupy some shit that ain't in your best damn interest, fool. So here we are with the Sovereignty Citizens Movement. Some of y'all may know them as, I'm just going to say it, these New American Moors. Mm, 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 mm. Man, I had to pause for a minute because I'm so sick of people playing with the hearts and minds of African people. Y'all don't understand how much this really pisses me off. I'm talking to the point, y'all, when I really look back at our story and to see the pain and the robbery, as the general spoke of. Y'all don't understand the fucking emotions and the feelings that just boils me looking back at the book Without Sanctuary, just flipping page through page, feeling the pain and the hurt and the fear. The fear that my great-great auntie, my great-great uncle must have had, knowing they got a damn rope around their neck and there's nothing else they can do. Y'all don't understand the importance of land. You don't understand because you're so damn used to paying rent, whether it's $5, $500, or $5,000 damn dollars, you're still a fucking comfortable ass slave. So here we are talking about our land project, and we're asking for your support. We're not just asking you for no damn money. Asking you for your services. We're asking you for your wisdom. We're asking you for your knowledge. We're asking you for your gardening skills. Listen, whatever you think you have to offer to bring to the land project to help us build a goddamn nation once and for all. The general told you, we ain't playing no goddamn games. But we're so used to being occupied, we willingly give our money to the goddamn Jews, cracker Jews. I gotta find me a place to live. You the original man. You the God and the goddess of the universe. The hell you mean you need to find you a place to live? We got to get out of our fucking comfortability with these damn crackers. You're so used to being enclosed in the white man's structure. You can't talk about freedom and you still paying rent. You still paying gas. You still paying electric. You still paying water. You still paying cable to the white man. There's peckerwood on every goddamn thing. So how free are we? How free are we? You think freedom is just being able to say what the hell you want to say? Wake up whenever you want to wake up. Go wherever you want to go. No, damn fool. Freedom means so much more than that. Liberation means so much more than your petty-ass, punk-ass thoughts. Because when I think of freedom, I think of bloodshed. When I think of freedom, I think of my own land. I think of growing my own food. Huh? drinking my own goddamn water. We're going to take it all black, step by step. So here we are at the first degree. And we need your support. So let's go back to the Sovereign Citizens Movement, because I don't want to leave y'all without giving you the hang up on these different hang-ups that you get caught up and occupied in. So, the Sovereign Citizens Movement among whites is designed to force their government to give them more individual and or group sovereignty. They simply want to legally do whatever they please. For this reason alone, they argue that this government is illegal, and many of them are quite willing to be violent if threatened by its agents. But in truth, the goal is not to dismantle the capitalist system or make it more equitable. If that, they were more possible and they remain what they are. They only want to change places with other whites who profit from it. The Sovereign Citizens Movement among Africans is about those individuals learning about the collective illegal acts of Cracker's government. It is not an effort to change the Europeans' laws. They only want to use their contradictions against them to get rid of debt or be exempt from taxation, claim abandoned unoccupied property, take your damn money to claim some damn status that you and they'll never be respected by these damn ruthless ass crackers. So these Sovereign Citizens movements wants to become immune from legal prosecution. Of course, in itself, the term sovereign citizen is self-contradictory, because you cannot be your own government under somebody else's goddamn rule. So no society has ever allowed that to happen without falling. In our community, this movement is often spread through tricksters who con-minded and or desperate-ass individuals who are willing to pay ridiculous fees for classes they believe these lessons will teach them how to declare themselves sovereign. It is also a form of reactive, reactionary, safe sovereignty. These escapists who want to pretend that the openly disrespectful behavior crackers have historically displayed towards others with impunity somehow does not apply to them. They want you to believe that somehow, unlike through all of their existence, crackers will suddenly change their character and respect anyone's claims to sovereignty within cracker-occupied and influenced space. Whites have never respected the laws and treaties and agreements they have made with others unless those others had the military power to devastatingly retaliate. This is why they never went to war with China. This is why they hurried up and became very quick allies with China, with Japan. But I hope you gain the understanding of what we're talking about. We're not talking about no goddamn fantasies. We're not talking about your fantasy island revolutionary thoughts and processes. Hell no. We're talking about true African liberation. We're talking about true African warriors to defend our land. So let me quickly build on the input of a military and the necessity of a military. All able-bodied potential warriors, adults, and elders within good mechanical and gunsmithing skills, instructed through martial arts, self-defense operations, military operations, military educators with the vast working historical knowledge of tactics and strategies of militaries worldwide. One must know military history. We're talking about building generals, not just a bunch of damn following robots. We must take time to understand and study especially through Black August revolutionary guerrilla warfare. Damn it, you gotta stop being scared. You must study guerrilla warfare. There's no way in hell you say you a follower of Garvey. You a follower of Elijah. You a follower of Malcolm. You a follower of Khalid Muhammad. You a follower of this person or that person who gave their lives for the revolutionary struggle for us to continue. And you don't study? You don't know nothing about no damn guerrilla warfare? You mean to tell me you don't study Kwame Nkrumah? You don't study political movement of the Nation of Islam's military? You mean to tell me you don't study Idi Amin? We must have a problem with that within ourselves. Martial arts, weapons training, survival training classes, and videos on self and community defense, instruction in military science, especially, once again, guerrilla warfare. Now, the first part that I read was the input. The second part I just read is the throughput. Here's the output. An army of individually capable warriors, each an army in and in of him or herself, fully defended African communities and mobile spaces, ample weaponry for every trained, able body in the community, fully functional battle plan at every level of society, African seen and feared as a credible threat by an intelligent individual / people who would consider attacking anyone or all of us, a warrior class who defines itself as African, understand the concept of enemy, and are able and willing to identify and confront others who deserve this label. Bobby E. White taught us that the only way for menticide to become rooted and eventually defined and championed by the menticidal themselves is for it to become institutionalized. That is, in order for self-hatred and other love to take on a life of its own among target group members, they must be taught this in every institution that governs their lives. This is the case for African people. So therefore, if we want to be free of this dependence breeding slave mentality, we have to be and have complete control over these social institutions which generate and regulate our mental, physical, and spiritual definitions of what is real and what is not. We're talking about true African freedom and liberation. Any given institution, be it education, family, economics, religion, politics, and military, every philosophy, every practice, and vision must be under our complete control and guidance if we are to truly be free. Black power.
Black power. Black power. Man, that was some powerful jewels you were dropping. And I pray that we clean up, wake up, and stand up against the ruthless enemy. Black power. Let's go to the phone line. Press 1 for your comments and concerns. Let's bring on 323-419. 323-419. Black power, all power to the people.
Power to the people. Can you
Black
hear me?
Black power. Yes, ma'am. Black power.
Power
all
to the
power
people.
To the people.
Conrad Black Ice. Greeting all comrades. Everybody that's on the line right now. You can always check out the Kwabulu Wayo page. the information to donate funds is posted on there under the GoFundMe. Power to the people.
Power, black power. All day, every day, and even on a Sunday. Go to the next caller. 510-967. 510-967. Black Power. Survival Class Radio Show. Pushing the line. All power to the people.
All power to the people. All power to the people. Black Power. Black Power. Can y'all hear me out there?
Yes, sir. Black Power.
Black Power. Yes, sir. This is Sergeant EJ of the Black Riders Liberation Party representing. And just listening in, tuning in, and listening to this deep class and the radio show with all the gems going on about land and how very important it is for us to have it. And it's important for the listeners out there, for the revolutionaries and even the people who are spectating, to get more political education and awareness of what liberation and revolution is. It's important to always remember our place in this world around land and who was the real sustainers and the real righteous inheritance of our birthright to own the land, not own the land's possessive or exploited in capitalism or for economic gain like the white man, like the devils are doing, but it's for us to protect it and create and develop a civilization, society, and world where there's peace, justice, and we live in harmony with balance, with duality of male and female, order and justice. And we've had that. We have had that. To remember, we have to put those same eyes that our ancestors had. When there was no white man, there was no non-black, non-brown pigmentation of us before the mutations came from wherever they came from. We have to remember that. And that we are the first thinkers. We are the first innovators and inventors and astrologers and the scientists and the mathematicians and the killers and the creations of using the natural resources and raw materials for benefits of good. Whereas the white man has turned it and made everything as backwards as he is evil and sadistic. That we have to see that our wrong position, that where we were, now we have came to a very low ebb of our time. And it's only been 6,000 years, 500 years being in America's, in this country, in this wretched country that was not founded by the Eurodemons, the Europeans, but was taken over through bloodshed, rape, pillage, murder, conniving. They are the biggest con artists that exist on this planet. They will use their tricks and manipulation of deeds, of permits, of contracts, institutions, and all the other foul, fragile, fraudulent documentation that exists on the planet. All of this is, doesn't exist. It's just an imagination. It's a manifestation of the white man's imagination. All the materials that exist, the money, the exploitation that pushes it and what materializes it for their capitalist gain is what they envision. And for us to continue and live under and think we can live in equality or equity with these demons, we'll be fooled. We'll be keep going down the same 50 years, 500 years timeline of subservitude, of keep asking and begging through their legislations and through their institutions and through their documents, where all we have ever got was a shotgun to the face, a rope around our neck, a knife to our back, inadequate housing, illnesses, diseases, biological chemical warfare. These things are developed and created by the white man's imagination to only dominate and control the planet because of their white inferiority of how they see themselves and their role in the world. Their fear of genetic annihilation, of being non-existent. Every white demon, every white devil, every white individual that you see walking is a manifestation of white inferiority because it takes two white people to make a white person. That means they never saw your black self in or black person inside their family. That means. So this has to deal with land. Land that we first were here in America. We were everywhere, as General Taco stated. it has to be known and seen to everybody that we had our own spirituality system. We had our own government and way of governing ourselves. We had our own principles and values, morals. Now we're left here in America, and people across the planet is trying to copy and imitate these white standards of Euro-Western thought, and only cannibalizing and eating ourselves into non-existence without land. Okay? We have to always calculate, keeping account for the murder and massacre and genocide that was created by our people. Not by our people, but on our people. That when we look at our position and plight here in America, that only we represent 4% slavery as far as the transatlantic slave trade that came here. So it was calculated, so you can never get the true number. But they say about 859,000 Africans were transported, human trafficked, from Africa to the Caribbean to here, that we make up 4%, that the rest of the percentage is different around all across the planet, to Brazil, to the islands, Caribbean, even to Europe, and that over million lives lost their lives through the passage of the Middle Passage of the Transatlantic. That's 1.8 million who drowned. I'm not even talking about the 50 million that were transported throughout the whole world. Then when we get to America, we have to see how they separated these states and these colonies that existed at that time. While we were rebelling, while we were killing slave masters left and right, they were trying to design and separate us in different places of the country where we would be far distant from each other, our family, what we knew. We didn't really know anything. We came to a foreign land, separated amongst our languages and tongues, taken away from our culture as far as our identity with each other, our sense of being and being human, and resulted in being just the object, property. Now, when I say 1.8 million lost their lives in the transatlantic slave trade, we're not even talking about the people who made the voyage from the nation or tribe that was at in Africa, along with sands and deserts to the dungeons, and people who were raped and the blood that was shed there. Then you got to chase the blood through the water to the Caribbeans and get to the blood in the Americas too. And also, you got to think about the trafficking that took when they made us walk from Natchez, Mississippi, to New Orleans, when they coughed with us across the land. Everywhere that there's America's soil, there's blood in the soil by our people. It was auctioned off in Natchez, Mississippi, which was one of the biggest auction trading posts for us. Then next will be New Orleans, which was the number one biggest transporting auction block place for us. Then after the course of from 1619 to 1865, there's been a count. Well, let me stop. 1619 to 1808. The 1619 to 1808. 1808 is when the band, after America, these demons fought through bloodshed for the land to get independence from the European, the English government. England put a ban on transatlantic slave trade. They said, y'all can't even get no more slaves. We funking. Y'all can't do no more of that. Matter of fact, we're going to patrol the shores of Africa. Make sure y'all don't do that. Not because they were sincerely or genuine of freeing us, because they had their own capitalistic, their own racist games behind that. And also because they got their ass whooped. I'm saying that they got their ass whooped support for us. No, as far as that, these white demons, they got independence from that state. So they start, instead of using boats to get us from 1800 from Africa, they start inbreeding us in the states. 1808 to 1865, they start having an industry, an institution of slave breeding. That means that you were sleeping with your mama. That means your daddy was sleeping with your cousin. That means that we had incest going on, breeding to produce more bodies for the advancement and progression of white America through that time. And you have to think of how many of these people are our great-great-grandfathers. How many of these people are great-great-aunties? 1808 to 1865, when the industry of slave breeding was going on, I mentioned all the cotton industries and all the other textiles and all the other free labor they was getting out of us through land, through bloodshed, through forced labor, through pillaging, through mind manipulation, through psyops, by propagation of demeaning us, by taking our culture away, they was able to control us. But there were people who rose up and fought back for our freedom and liberation. That's what Black August is about, people who did that. But we also have to remember that even if they do say that we are promised 400 acres, if they do say we are promised two mules, or even now $500,000, even now, any kind of justice delayed is a justice denied. That there's no retribution that you get from all the bloodshed that y'all created. Y'all created an ocean full of bloodshed, an ocean full of innocent flesh, babies, alligator bait. Us. That's us. And it hasn't stopped. The killing has not stopped. For what? For land. They don't just kill you to be killing us. They kill us to take back, not to take back, to take over land. They kill us to take over land. Now, people think that land anywhere, land in America, is able to just be acquired and we could just develop and build and you could have property and you won't face any kind of racism. That once we start building streets and have hospitals and things like that, we'll be able to have our liberation and freedom. That's a false understanding. That's that notion out your head. People today in this generation feel like we haven't already took steps and measures to acquire land and property before 2018. Ever since we've been in this country, we've been working hard, being killed to establish our land, like Allensworth, California, where we had acquired 28 acres of land to establish our own town. And what they do, they poison the water. What they do to Rosewood, they burn it down. They said that a black man raped a white woman, like a lie they always use. And what they do, they burn Rosewood down. And when there's no prosecutions, and when these devils get acquitted, when these devils don't get no charges and anything like that, this is state-sanctioned violence. That is a government-sanctioned violence. That means it's stamped and approved and validated by the government that it's okay to kill black people, and that they will get no justice at all. That's what that means. But it's not just that. Now, because when we speak of land and buying property, people feel like, oh, maybe if I could just, you know, get a good job and get my income coming in, then I can be able to purchase a home in the suburbs and I can get away from all the ghettos and ills, and maybe eventually I can help my people. That's a false notion, too. Acting like we haven't been doing that. Acting like black people haven't made enough money to move themselves out to urban environments, to congested environments that was created by the white men at first. And then when we start moving into middle, so-called middle-class neighborhood, that we're getting it better. No, they will firebomb us. They did moving firebombings. Everything, and people feel like it's just white people. Some white people, not all white people are like that, and that's not true. Because what you're saying is, or people feel like, that the racism that is internal on white people, that's just a de facto racism. De facto racism is a personal, individual feeling that you have a disdain against somebody who's not of the same color. That's a de facto. That's personal, individual. But what we're doing and dealing with is called de jure. It's in law. It's called de jure. Racism, de jure racism, is when it's validated, when it's a policy created, the U.S. government, to make sure that there is consequences, immediate consequences, to prohibit black people from buying any property or even to exist. That's where you have the casual killing act that came into this. That's de jure of racism. We have. And another form of these things is like or was created in 1938? Well, let me back up a little. First, let me touch on what happened in St. Louis. This cracker named Barth Alamu, what became one of the first people a part of the Housing Commission and Racial Zoning Commission, or Residential Zoning Commission in St. Louis in 1911. See, 5 years after 1911 when he was hired, he's the devil who came up behind the residential zoning. He was told to engineer and also put stipulations around what a single family household or residential area is, what a multifamily zoning area is, what industrial zoning and what commercial zoning is. He's the one behind what we have now today. And also behind the policies and regulations that take place in these places, like in the commercial and industrial neighborhood, that's where black people were allowed to buy houses and rent houses out. And that means that in these areas, that's why we have so much traffic and foot traffic and car traffic and pollution and so much people coming in and buying up these businesses and getting money off of us, because this is commercial zones. And when you have commercial zones, that means that you could inflate the property taxes and also the money that goes into the income around it, making it difficult for black people to afford these houses. Then some people say, well, why can't they just buy single family zones? No, because that means we were barred from doing that, and we are still barred from doing that by having these high insurance rates and having these high mortgages that we have to double pay more than these white people do. That's your segregation, bro. That's what it is. That's been happening ever since Reconstruction, ever since the Civil War, 1865. That's what's been going on. And when we're talking about land, too, we have to also talk about voting. Because right after 1865, being that they got to write anything for the legislation to put us in to say we equal is a violation of our human rights in the first place, because we were supposed to all be given equal rights with the Constitution, that all men created equal. But because they know it's bullshit, we should know it's bullshit, that when they put that 13th Amendment was to prohibit any kind of chattel slavery only for if you went into debt. And that means that your black selves, our black selves, are not totally free until we get them handcuffs on us, and then we end up going to these prisons that they put on land, and they concentrate us over there. And when they take us away from our environment, what they do, they say we are felon, we ain't not able to vote. Then you have in the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is to make sure that they can't inflict or enact anything based on color governmentally, locally, or stately to prohibit us. They supposed to treat us fairly. They don't do. So we have these contradictions that exist with us and the government that exists. We cannot find peace in this place at all. From 1860 to 1955, and don't forget what I told y'all about as far as the zoning, that between 1860 and 1955, there was over 4,000 documented lynchings. 4,000 documented lynchings. And not in tied or added on to the fire bombings and added on to the rapes, not tied and added to the stabbings, the drownings, the other forms of massacres and genocide of people in this country. And what this does is to stop us and put fear in us to not engage the white men on any fronts, especially in retaliatory, and to make us feel like we have to push bills and legislations and things like that for us to get our justice. Between 1865 and 1965, there was over 200 bills that was pushed to Congress to stop lynching, so they'd be a legal lynching, anti-lynching bill. You know what they did? They denied that and allowed two. They just allowed two out of 200 anti-lynching bills so that to be passed, but it still takes no effect on us to the day, because you still have people getting lynched today in 2018. In 2018, have still people getting lynched. And we are still trying to push for bills, for anti-lynching bills, and having landmarks for what was done to us. That's not justice. Then when you think about the bodies that exist, the 4,000 bodies that our ancestors, our grandparents, were supposed to tell us about the experience that happened to them back on the plantation or happened to them in those sharecropping fields, that we were supposed to take on the anger and aggression to fight back against it. But just since they killed them all off and still killing them off to the day and killing us off, that we don't learn about it, so we start accessing and start putting on standards of white man's freedom on us. This is just an American nightmare to us. And then also, when you kill the people, you kill people who's able to vote. You kill not even just vote in numbers as far as to mark ballots and stuff like that, but it's in vote in numbers is to say, yes, let's time to end this. It's the power of numbers. It's all time to end this. That's our vote. Voting doesn't always just have to be, because what they did with that is that when they incarcerate people, when they get, when felons get out, that they're not able to vote anymore. Can do is use their body as a representation of the number behind the vote to support anything that's going on. But when they eliminate us and take us off the planet, that we don't have that body anymore. And this has to go back to the zoning. The zoning has to go to the education system where they put these schools next to polluted factories, where they also have a restriction around how we work. And that's called an economic suppression. When they pay you $5 an hour, but pay Timmy and pay Johnny $20 an hour, or where they create the labor unions not for the domestic work and services that usually we take up the jobs around, like nursing or security or any other of those jobs. They take the, they use unions, which was also back into the 1900s, to be able to have a capitalization on the jobs that's used for like war, making machines and things like that, or machine work or factory work and industrial work, which we, at that time in the 1900s, we damn near dominated it, because we was used to the toiling work that we was doing. We was on the plantation, but we were still getting ass and shit pay. So when they came up with the unions, they say, y'all niggas can't get this. We going to take over these jobs. So that came into the public housing that's used now. It's all tied in too. Like, the public housing wasn't even meant for us. It was supposed to be temporary housing for these war workers on during the World War I era, so they can produce and get money and have temporary housing, but yet use money that they get to buy future development in white areas, white suburbs that we were barred from. Then they create deeds, and that deeds is called a residential convention. As far as when they take a land and house and say that y'all can't sell it to no niggas. They got that in law. They got that in law. And they also have another thing they created called the Federal Housing Authority. And the Federal Housing Authority, that was created in the 1930s, said that you can't give out loans, mortgages, and nothing like that to black people. That we all going to do it for white people. Then they had a Housing Owner Loanership Committee that was backing it with white money. The tactics and methods that these white people do are devilish, y'all. And we steady trying to play their games? Are we crazy? You crazy. You talk about we are the most, we have done the most peaceful and passive stuff being in this country, and many attacks that we've been getting through, getting assaulted with no repercussions. We have to stop that. Let me tell you what these demons will do, and these demons have done. These demons will orchestrate in their church to create commissions and committees to put their money together to try to buy you out of your property. And if they don't do that, they can't do that, then they're going to try to do everything they can to evict you. If they can't evict you, then what they did back in the 1960s and 50s, what they did was sue the seller for selling you the property. This was all snake sanction. It was all legal for them to do that. And you know what? They won in a whole lot of cases. And if they can't do that, you know what they'll do? They'll firebomb you. just like they did in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, you know what? When we try to build Tulsa, Oklahoma back again, Greenwood, Oklahoma back again, they said you are permitted and prohibited. You can't build it like you did. You have to follow all these rules and guidelines. That was really against us. These demons is crazy, y'all. These demons is crazy. And a lot of this information, you could check it out, like around housing. I suggest getting this book called The Color of Law. The Color of Law, pretty much is self-explanatory. It tells you about the color of law and what they're implementing, what they'll do. Now, let's talk about the Red Summer of 1919. I'm pretty sure some people seen that in their timeline. Well, in the spring of 1919, to the incident where the brother was stoned while he was swimming and he drowned in the water, from the spring of 1919 to July, there was about how many bombings? About 124 moving bombings. Oh, my bad. It was about 58 moving bombings, and about two of them people was acquitted for. And the rest just happened. So that's the things that led up in Chicago, Illinois, that led up to the Red Summer of 1919, which was about 58 people dying and 23 people were black and white people. Let y'all know, just caskets rolling. So 14 caskets was on white people's side too. So it wasn't just us getting slaughtered. And that happened in 1919. Then over a course of time, many other riots, not done by black people, but white people on black people, to move us and push us out of our housing so they could concentrate us into these ghettos. That's where the ghettos, the idea of the ghettos and urban environments came from. Like these demons will put up a wall. They put up a wall to separate housing structures, one from white housing structure to a black housing structure, like they did in Detroit. They put up a 10-foot wall, a big-ass 10-foot wall on the side of where black people stayed on, so they won't move on or intrude onto everybody else's property, which is some bullshit. It didn't take until 1968 till Fair Housing Act policy got pushed, where allowing black people to move into suburbs. By this time, it was like, what's the point? Still facing racial hostilities, animosity, and many other properties that existed still that was being established, the property rent was too much for us to afford. And even so now, we're still being predatory, like being preyed on for subprime loanings or predatory lending, where they tell you you have to pay a certain amount of interest in order to take out. And a lot of black people, since we can't afford it or miss payment, which is no different now they played us in 1940s and 60s and 70s, that if you miss a payment, that will come and foreclose your house and come back to the bank. No, because we will deny loans and mortgages. So we had to put these things up from working two jobs three times over. And a lot of times when black people moved in to suburbs, that since we couldn't really afford the property and they over assessed us for how much the property was, we would get people from the south to move in with us. And when we started doing that, white people start moving out. That's called white flight. But not only did they do that, the real estate agents will also propagate and put up posters to, this is called blockbusting, to put the fear in white people that we was taking over the property if we was moving in. They also hire black people to roll around, bump the music, or knocking on doors, or doing random phone calls looking for black people, that the white people will end up moving out and buying other real estate property from these agents and then selling the property to us that they moved out at low cost, but selling the new properties to white people at pay for their original property. This is all the tactics and methods that they use and the tactics and methods that they're using now. That's why it's important for us to know our history and our role in it. See how they've been trying to dupe and connive us and manipulate us. When they do that, no, we still out here begging and asking, can we get our land back? And it's ridiculous. No, like I said in the beginning, like any kind of justice, the latest of justice is not. And this is Black August. And Emmett Till was murdered brutally this month, too, also on August 28th. And why he's important to this topic of land, because we don't know what this little boy could have been, what he could have did, the great things that he was inspired to do, what his life would have turned out to. He could have been a part of his position to get us land. You know what I'm saying? Black power.
Okay, we're about to close out. Good looking out, EJ, on dropping them powerful jewels of knowledge. Tune in September 1st to the Survival Class Radio Show. Push a line for Black people. Let's get this land all over the planet. Liberation and salvation for the Black nation. Black power.
I won't deny you. I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna fuck with me. Got the police busting at me, but you can't do nothing to me. Stop.